消してしまうにはまだ人生長いでしょう。やり残してることやり直してみたいから、
Welcome to this week's Bryce Lab with your hosts Gian and Jim. This week we'll be covering Anime Expo. This is kind of our pre-show before going.
Yeah, woo!
So, 4 days. Yeah, 4 days. Oh, for me, it's just the weekend.
This is the weekend for Gian. I have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off, so I'll be doing all 4 days for you guys.
Yeah, that's definitely be a crazy weekend. So this week's episode, kind of free-form, nothing really formatted. We're just going to talk about what we're going to do, what we're looking forward to, and maybe what we're planning to buy at the expo. So, I guess, so what do you plan on doing on Thursday, Jim?
For me, I really am looking forward to the Gundam panel. I want to check that out. I think that starts about 9 in the morning, but first and foremost, we tried getting our badges tonight. Today's technically called Day Zero.
Yeah.
Epic
fail. Yeah, it was an epic fail. We got there around 7:30, and my intel from the Anime Expo forums,
great
mind you.
Great inside information.
So it's like, these are the forums straight from the website. They were telling me, I basically said, could I go there 7:30 at the latest and technically get my badge? And people were telling me, there's no line, you'll be fine, you'll be in and out in no time. But lo and behold, when Gian and I get there, there is a line that is curving around the
street.
So we could not get our badge, we were turned down. We got there around 7:30.
And we just left. But, you know, all in all, it wasn't too bad. We ended up going to Little Tokyo because it was about 5 minutes away from Anime Expo.
Yeah, and so, we needed to pick up snacks. Well, I needed to pick up snacks. I know I'm going to be doing sort of full days each day at the convention, so I picked up some random snacks like Pocky and such. That's not going to be my dinner. Gian suggested I eat a big breakfast, so I'll probably try that out and just have a nice light dinner.
Yeah, because, you know, it's definitely going to be a rip-off there at the expo. They're trying to make money, and
yeah, like last year, I bought like the most expensive vitamin water that I've ever bought in my life. It was like, I think it was almost $4 for like a dinky little bottle. So,
oh man,
yeah, I forgot to pack water that day, and I was like, dude, I'm really thirsty, and I can't find any of the drinking fountains. So, I bought vitamin water, and like, damn, it wasn't special vitamin water, it was just like, oh, I just paid $4 for a drink. Wow.
That really sucks. It's like Disneyland status.
Yeah. I just went to Magic Mountain. They have, like, these weird deals where it's, like, $41 for, like, 4 pieces of food. I was like, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure the convention center is much worse. My suggestion is that, take up Gian's little tidbit about eating a big breakfast. And then
bring snacks.
Bring snacks. I suggest bring a lot of water.
Yeah, water at the very least.
Don't make the mistake that I did the first Anime Expo. I just drank soda, and I ended up being really thirsty the whole weekend. So you're going to want to favor water over anything else. It'll keep you hydrated. There's a lot of people. There's like 40,000 people that go to this convention. So things are going to get hot and stuffy.
And smelly.
and smelly. You know, I've heard people... Like, I heard, not in Anime Expo, but in Otakon, which is over on the East Coast, there's actually one of the staff members turns people down for smelling. Like, if you don't have good hygiene, they actually kick you out of the convention.
Oh, wow. I would kind of wish
I kind of wish, Anime Expo did that, just because, I mean, you're around different people, and it's okay to be weird and yourself and quirky. But, dude, like, just shower, put on deodorant. It's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So, Thursday, going to be picking up my badge, hopefully. I'm going to do some sort of tactical espionage thing to pick up Gian's badge, too. Because for some stupid reason, you can't pick up someone else's badge, even though you have their identification and all that.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I could, like, write a legal document, too, and it probably would just don't care. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll thinking... See. Most of the staff, if not all, and volunteers, of course, are fans like us, and they won't really sort of scrutinize or, you know, be really detailed about me picking up Gion's badge on his behalf.
Needless to say, we have ways around it. If anything, I'm going to have Jim pose as me, because what do they know?
He's basically, Gion handed me his driver's license from, like, almost maybe, like, 10 years ago. Like, probably eight years ago.
Yeah, 8 years ago.
And,
what are they going to know?
How will they know how that young lad turned out, you know? So, on Thursday, I'm also going to check out the Gundam panel. So, I think that starts off about 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Just the thing with that is that the exhibit hall, so the dealer room, the place where you buy all your items, your DVDs, your figures, that opens up at 12. And I know there's definitely going to be a line for that. But I do just want to just try out the Gundam panel. I want to see how it's formatted, what they talk about. I've heard that people are just, they're going to be mentioning about the construction of the Gundam in Japan. Maybe, is it the 31st anniversary for Gundam this year? I think so.
Yeah, 30, definitely over 30 now.
Yeah, I think 30th was last year, so they're going to be doing that. Some news coming from Sunrise, which is the company, Sunrise Bandai, which is the company behind Gundam, so they're going to go over a bit of news there, and I think some sort of freeform Gundam, I guess, fan panel where we're just going to be talking about maybe our favorite Gundams and whatnot.
I think they're going to be previewing Unicorn one of those days.
Yeah, they're actually going to coincide with Stephanie Shea's appearance. She does the voice of Audrey Byrne for Gundam UC, Gundam Unicorn. They'll be screening the Blu-ray version, the high-def version of Gundam Unicorn. Oh, it's only available in high-def, right?
Yeah, it's only in Blu-ray.
So they're going to be playing that on one of the days at Anime Expo. Either, because she's going to be there Thursday, so I'm thinking they're just going to play it on Thursday, most likely.
That makes the most sense, yeah.
Yeah. And I might check that out if I don't have anything else to watch, just because they'll have a nice big projector, and I did watch Gundam Unicorn with Gion, and it looks nice on the TV he has. But seeing it on a projector and a big screen might be, you know, that more awesome.
Which reminds me, we need to do the review.
Yeah, stuff. We're putting it on the back burner, but...
Yeah, eventually,
we'll get to it. I think this AX thing is pretty cool, because it's like, it's tomorrow, basically. And speaking of the dealer room, I'm going to be searching for a bunch of Figmas. That's going to be my...
Your main goal.
Yeah, my main goal, my scavenger hunt this year. So I'm looking forward to trying to pick up a Mio and Yui Figma. Those are two characters from K-On! And I'm going to try to, if they do have it, Ritsuko. She just got released, I think, in June. So it's going to be kind of rare, but if she's there, I'll definitely pick her up. And all that's left is to get Mugi, and I have the whole set, basically. Unless I want to go and get Azusa, which I probably will, because she's one of my favorite characters.
And there's also Ui, but that's going
to
be...
Oh, man. No, I remember you sending me that link to try to reserve it on a Good Smile Company's website. I just couldn't navigate it.
Well, it's in Japanese.
And they were selling it at Anime Jungle, which is an anime store near us in Little Tokyo. But they were selling it for like $80, $90, and I think that's too much for a Figma. I mean, I love Figmas.
It's to be expected how rare it is, though.
Yeah, it's the Wonder Festival version. It's okay. As long as I have the band... I'll be okay. And also, I'm going to be looking for the 1/7 scale, I think 1/6 or 1/7 scale of Saber Lily. And there's two versions of it, and I'm looking for the one that was released earlier. I think it's called the Escalon version or whatnot, but basically it has Saber in a pose where she's unsheathing Excalibur. And it looks as if the sheath is floating, and it looks really cool. The Saber Lily outfit is only available, or is only seen in the Fate Stay Night Unlimited codes PSP
game. Yeah.
And I really like the design of it. It's she's all in white, and it's kind of like it's like to me it looks like a mixture of her regular fighting uniform and sort of like a ballroom dress, wedding dress sort of thing, and it looks really cool. And of course, she has a ponytail on, and I have a thing for ponytails.
Oh, really, fetish.
So just that's my thing. So definitely, I'm gonna pick those up. So those are my high priority items this year.
Good luck with that. I think that's gonna be one of the hot items. Sold out for pre-order, and it was just done.
Yeah.
And that was a good year ago.
I checked out eBay, and I think the cheapest figure, the Saber Lily, the cheapest I found was about $280. So the budget I allocated for that is $90 to $100, which is normally what it retails around. Like, I think the cheapest you could get it is like $80 to $85. That would be the cheapest. And of course, I would snatch that up. But if I find it for $90,
okay, that's, you're hoping to it. I think if anything, it'll be around $120.
Yeah. Oh man. Well.
And even
see.
Then, I think you can argue it's still worth it, but yeah. I mean, it's really rare.
I'll take a look at it. I mean, the box looks spectacular too. I don't even know if I want to display it, and just because you can see her just fine through the box. Oh man, that's gonna be a nightmare to find. So the Figmas are more of them. I think I'll be able to find them day one. I think I'll be pretty good finding them.
I think all of those are gonna be day one things. If you wait, you're screwed.
Yeah. If any of you listeners are planning on buying K-On anything, that's gonna be the hot item this year. And I suggest as soon as you get your badge for whichever day you're going to Anime Expo, hopefully day one. You're going to want to search for those. I know some booths, though, what they do is they'll put for sale like 5 or 6 each day. So they'll say they're sold out, but they have more.
They'll jack up the price later.
Yeah, they'll jack up the price later because they're sort of estimating, oh, is this going to sell well? And if it is, I'm just going to, you know, put limited stock each day and just jack up the price. That's what happened when I tried buying my Detroit Metal City Robotex. I tried buying it at Anime Expo last year, and the only one I really wanted was Krauser, so he's the lead character. And I went to this one booth, and they said they had him for $20, but they sold out, and they would have more the next day. I checked the same booth the next day, and they're selling him for $40. So I'm all like, wow, thanks. And yep. Good thing that I waited out on that, because I recently was able to obtain all 3 members of Detroit Metal City
for like
20 bucks.
So all in all, it was fine.
Yeah, that worked out fine. The K-On stuff, I know if I do not buy it at Anime Expo, there's going to be no way I'm going to be able to obtain it unless I go and try to order it through eBay or, God knows, through Hobby Search or whatnot. They have, I think, one more shipment of Yui figures that I could order, but the Mio is like, it's done. Mm-hmm. Like, it's discontinued. And I was planning on getting Rider 2 from Fate Stay Night, but that's discontinued, and I hope to see that at AX. I think the good thing is that this will be our 5th year going to Anime Expo, and I'm pretty well aware. This is, I think, the 3rd year that it's going to be the LA Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And about the same booths in terms of the dealer room.
You know the good booths.
We know the good booths. So there's always this one booth that I think normally they place it at the end of the dealer room. And they have a lot of good figures for sale at pretty reasonable prices. And on one side it's all, you know, the girl, the Moe stuff. And on the other side they have like random Gundam, you know, Gunpla, the plastic models and just robots on the other side. So I'm going to look for that booth first because they have all the Figmas there. Like, I remember going there last year and they had every Figma, I think, except for Yuki, which was the first Figma ever released. And, you know, that's going to be hard to find anyway.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's sort of what I'm looking forward to. Is there anything that you're planning on buying, Gion?
There really isn't anything I have planned. Like, I'm probably just going to do a lot of impulse buys. I'd probably like, ooh, shiny, and just get it kind of thing. but if anything, I kind of want something like, yeah, Full Metal Panic, like the Tessa. You kind of want
it
back
then. Yeah, the Testarossa.
It's like Testarossa on kind of like on a bed or something. And
she's on this porcelain stage, sort of like a round stage.
Yeah.
And I think there's a pillow next to her.
Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of like a bed, but yeah, it's like, I don't know, she just woke up kind of thing.
Yeah, so she's sort of in her PJs.
Yeah, so maybe that.
And it looks really cool. It's really well detailed, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's a, I think it's a 1/5 scale, actually.
That's pretty
one
big.
1/5, 1/6, so it's like, either that or Testarossa is really a small character.
She probably is. I mean, what, 16-year-old?
Yeah, so I'm thinking she's kinda, like 5 feet at the highest, not even.
Yeah, she's probably short already. Besides that, I can't really think of anything. I was thinking about getting the Alter Kaon. I already had Mio, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of, I could live without it, basically. It'd be nice to have it complete. Just
what would be, so cool. I remember you paid, I think, 90 bucks for your Mio. How much would you pay for, did you want Azusa and Yui? Is that what you were thinking of getting?
Yeah, I was. Well, ideally I'd want all of them, but yeah. If anything, Azusa at the very least, because I liked how they did her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe that. I don't know. I think 90 would be my cutoff for that.
Yeah, just. But to be honest, they're really good quality, and I've seen a lot of Kaon figures. Mm-hmm. And in terms of capturing what you see from the anime into a figure form, the Altier versions are, I think, the best ones. I've seen a couple that are like, I think Good Smile did a few. But they mostly are really good with their Nendoroid and Figma sets. But when they try to do full PVCs, it's like kind of hit or miss. And Altier, I think, did a great job. If I were to grab one of those, it'd just be Yui. Mm-hmm. And I'd be good.
Oh, man. They need to make a freaking T-set then to capture the characters.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there you go. If you want to capture the characters,
well,
they're just
I'm thinking, like, see, if I get the Figmas, there's accessories you could buy. I've been so tempted. And it's weird because the accessories get sold out. And I actually wanted to buy one or two bicycles for my Figmas. And those got sold out immediately. And they have the mopeds, those little scooters with the two wheels, and you just push forward. They have those as accessories for the Figmas, and those are sold out. So it's like, dude, I thought I would be the only one interested in these, but damn, there's...
No, they got their audience
down. Yeah, they got their audience down, yeah. So if they do sell, like, a desk sort of, like, accessories, I do have the Yuki Nagato Figma that I have, which is her premium version. I have two Yukis. I have the first one that got released, and the second one is her in her witch outfit. And she comes complete with a tea set, actually. So I have the tea set already. I just need the desk. So I bet Good Smile will release that, and I just need to wait and probably actually pre-order a Figma accessory, since those tend to sell out almost immediately.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Did you see the for Kaon, that one character, Yui's friend, kind of class rep, that's a girl.
Oh, they made a Figma.
Yeah, they made a Figma.
Oh, wow.
I don't know when that's coming out, but they have one of her now.
Oh,
so would
man.
You get that as well?
No, see, I would only get that if I had Ui, because they're the side characters. But since I won't, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get Ui. If I see her at Anime Expo if I see her for $50, I'll buy it, but that's not going to happen.
That's her cutoff, if anything.
If anything, you know. If I see a booth that randomly has her for $50, sure, why not? I'll buy her and I'll say, dude, this is a Wonder Festival exclusive. What I'm actually also interested in is, have you seen, you know how they have the Vocaloid Miku Hatsune, the girl with
the greenish hair,
They have an offshoot of her. I'm not sure if this is correct, but some dudes made another version of her, and it's called Black Rock Shooter.
So I see her a lot, yeah. I'm not really into that stuff.
I think it looks kind of cool. I would actually get the Figma for it, just because it comes with, like, a huge gun and a sword, and overall, the figure looks, I don't know, to me, the way it's designed is really cool. But yeah, for you, it's just, like, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I never really got into the Vocaloid thing. I still think it's like, what? What the
fuck? Yeah. See, I'm not really into it, but I'm into, like, Miku Hatsune and maybe the other one, which is supposed to be the English representative. So her name, I think, is Megumi.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot her last name, but I would actually get figures of Megumi because she looks a little more wholesome. And I think she's in her 20s, actually, so it would be like One of those rare. Old. Yeah, it'd be one of those rare instances where I have a figure with a girl that's old.
So, in anime terms.
Yeah, in anime terms. You know?
I kind of wish they made older characters.
Yeah.
But...
Well, isn't Aina a little old in Gundam 08 MS Team?
Or... She's like old, like 17 maybe.
Okay. I tried. Matilda.
Matilda.
Yeah.
Old as in probably 20.
That's pretty old. She can't pilot a Gundam anymore.
Bright is 18, I want to say. And
he really looks like he's 30 years old. Like, no joke.
I want to say late 20s. But...
Yeah, when I first saw Gundam, I was all like, oh, cool. That guy's like, like either 30, maybe late 20s. And then you tell me he's 18 years old. I'm like, wow.
I always joked around that Ramara is probably like 30. he looks so freaking old.
He has gray hair. He already has his beer belly.
Nah, he's
30. No, he's just 30 years old. Maybe they just age faster in space. it's the space colonies. Alright, so that's Thursday. So what about Friday? Well,
I'm not going
you're
Friday,
not going
so
Friday.
What are you doing Friday?
For Friday, I am going to be attending the Yuri Hori panel. And she did the voice of Eddie Sawichika from School Rumble, among others. She's actually done a ton of voices. I've only known her work as a singer because she's done the opening to School Rumble, the opening to Toradora, which, as I've stated before, is one of my favorite animes, and also the opening to my favorite Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood opening, the first one. So I only know her through her singing career. I totally did not know that she was also a voice actress. And lo and behold, I'm going to be cosplaying as Haruma Kenji from School Rumble. And I still plan on they call her Ojo. I rewatched the series. He calls her Ojo. See, what I'm scared of is when I address her, I know how they have the whole thing in Japan where it's disrespectful to not add like a title. But even though I'm in character, I don't know whether she'll be like flattered or like, oh man, this dude didn't address me by like the title. I hope she's flattered, but if in any case, I'm still juggling whether like I could always just say Ojo-sama, you know?
Yeah.
Give her more reverence, but that would be
off character.
That would be off character.
I think the fact that you said it is already something.
Yeah, I hope she knows.
Maybe just add a san or something.
Yeah, Ojo-san.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude, if she calls me Hige, it's over. There you go. Like, I got my money's worth for Anime Expo. The $75 fee is good if she says that. But if not, you know, hey, I walked away with an autograph of her.
Yeah.
I'm still on the fence about getting the Toradora box set and having her sign that as well, because... They have, like, a strict policy in terms of autographs for Anime Expo. It's, like, one item per guest of honor. And also, if you want to take a photo, it's only if the guest, like, allows photos to be taken.
I wouldn't chance.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the photo. I think I'll just do it just in case, just because there's actually two sessions. There's the autograph session after her panel, which you would have to line up for, and you'll get like a sort of like a premium line pass if you attend the panel. They give you a little ticket. And then I read that they have open autograph sessions. Now, I went to that last year at Anime Expo for all the people that were in the original Power Rangers, like Rita Repulsa and Zach, those actors. They're actually in the exhibit hall. And... It really depends on the guest of honor whether they're going to stay the whole weekend or just one day.
Yeah.
I think Yuri Hori will have open autographs on Saturday, but her main autograph session will be on Friday, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers that I'll get my School Rumble stuff signed on Friday, and then on Saturday, if I'm able to, if it doesn't coincide with anything I want to go to, I'll go to her open autograph session and have her sign the Toradora box set that I'll probably be purchasing, like 90%.
Yep, good luck with that.
Yeah. And finally, on Friday night, I'm going to try out for Anime Expo's Last Comic Standing. And, you know, I tried delivering my jokes to Gion, and John pointed out that I need to work on, like, the punchline.
Because right now, honestly, they're just stories. I mean, I find them interesting, but if you're going to go to random strangers, they're just going to be bored as
yeah.
well. So.
I know I have an edge, sort of, in terms of this is my first time trying stand-up. I did improv this fall, but stand-up is completely different. I know the general rule of thumb is that I shouldn't go in there expecting that everybody's going to be laughing at what I say. And that if I'm honest, most of the time, this is a general rule of comedy, at least from what I've been hearing and I read and what I've been told, that honesty is actually the best comedy. As long as you don't try to be someone you're not, and these are just opinions that or commentary that you just find true, you know, people will find it funny. So I guess I have material set up, but yeah, what Gian said, I read online that in terms of setting up a joke, if you're going to use a story, there's the portion where you do the setup, which is just explaining the story. This is the part where you're not supposed to laugh. So you do a little bit of exposition there, and then you deliver the punchline. So what I need to work on is just delivery and the punchline. I think...
There's no punchline yet, though.
But could you see the stories having a punchline just if I formatted it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so, but so far there is none.
Yeah, I don't want to do one of those weird, like, you know, here's my exposition, pause, punchline, because I think that'll be weird. I think I need to watch a lot more stand-up and just see how they naturally just come to, like, deliver that, you know, that part where you're supposed to laugh. Where it's like, it's a little bit of talking, you're into it, you're like, okay, I kind of get what he's saying, and then when he gives his... you know, the punchline, you're like, oh, that's really funny, ha ha ha.
If anything, I say watch Louis C.K., which his show actually premiered today.
Yeah,
I missed it.
Or it was last night, actually.
Was it last night? Okay,
yeah.
Well, I missed it anyway.
Yeah, if you have FX On Demand, I think you could actually watch it. I'm going to actually check it out. And it's probably on Hulu.
Actually, yeah.
Yeah, I need to check it out. Okay, I'll take a look at some
of
his stand-up.
Yeah, most of those things are stories.
Okay, so I can learn. So sort of the angle that I'm going for, because I know there's like prop comedy and situational and observational comedy. So him is more of like a storytelling.
Yes, I mean, have you heard any of his stuff?
I think I remember the dick in a bag or suck a bag of dicks.
Yeah,
there you go.
And he like did like 10.
Oh, and his
bit on that.
His awesome possum shirt, that one too, right?
Yeah, an awesome possum shirt.
Awesome possum shirt. Okay, so it's weird because I watch a couple of stand-up. I actually saw Conan O'Brien, his little comedy tour that he's doing right now, and there was some stand-up acts before the main show, and they were hilarious. They were great. It's just that you, as an audience member, I get so sucked into like the story and I guess the personality of the person, and when they deliver the punchline, like, I don't expect it. It's just like, okay, there's this story. I went, oh, that's really funny. And, you know, I just start laughing because it's like I put the pieces together.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm hoping I could. I know it's not something I'm going to get overnight. But then again, this is just an amateur show. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be professionals there. I'm hoping I'm not the worst one. But there's tryouts anyway. So if I fail that badly, I won't even make it to the main show, which is on Saturday. And yeah, just wait and see. So I'll try out Last Comic Standing Friday. We'll see how that pans out. And then Saturday, you'll be joining me finally for Anime Expo.
Hopefully, I won't have to wait in line if our
plan works out.
Which
Jonah.
I'm 90% sure it will work out.
Yeah, it won't be too stingy. I'll go there like the last hour, maybe hour and a half, because I don't know if there'll be a line still.
I doubt it. I mean, yeah, I just doubt it.
Yeah. So Saturday, for me, I am planning on attending a panel at 9 in the morning, so unfortunately we're going to have to wake up early on Saturday, Gian, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I was kind of planning. I mean, we would probably have to wake up even earlier to get like a big breakfast or something.
Yeah, well, we could probably hit up, what, like Denny's or something.
Denny's or McDonald's is fine. We just got to eat for sure, because chances are we're going to be skipping lunch. And even worse, there's also that possibility that we'll be skipping dinner, get to your stand-up thing.
Oh, yeah, man.
Or if there's something we want to watch
at night.
We'll
have, like, a super late dinner. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I should prepare snacks as well. Yeah.
So Saturday, yeah, I'll be at, well, you'll, I guess, just join me. One of my listeners, I have a radio show that I do. It's an internet radio show, and I do that. I play anime music and kind of do the same thing that I do in the podcast, just talk about anime-related stuff that I'm doing and just news and all that. And one of my listeners is actually doing a panel, so that's more or less why I'm attending. And the panel is how to report anime conventions. So seeing as we're doing a podcast and keeping up a blog, this isn't so much of a random panel I'm going to. It would actually be pretty helpful and beneficial. And the guy that I'm talking to, he's one of my, as Gian knows, I have quite the personalities in terms of my listeners on the radio station. But out of all the people, he's actually a pretty cool guy, really simple. Unfortunately, he told me he was going to get a special guest. And I'm pretty sure, I'm 90% sure, he almost got Danny Chu to be on his panel. But things just didn't fall through. And because he knew that he was coming before he got announced. Mm-hmm. And he just told me, oh, I'm going to be, I might have a special guest at my panel when I was talking to him on IRC. And he was just saying he'll have a special guest on his panel. But it's a guest that hasn't been announced, but will be announced either today or tomorrow. And the following day, Danny Chu was announced as a guest for Anime Expo. So I was just like, oh, damn, that would have been awesome. Because already he told me, just if I get into the panel early, like, come in, we'll chat a bit. Talk about random stuff, since he's, you know, he's a listener on the station. And, yeah, he's, like, a pretty cool guy. So we'll check that out in the morning. And then you got to do your dealer room experience. So I think the dealer room opens 10 or 11 o'clock. And
yeah, the thing is, well, my main goal for that day, at least with panels, yeah, probably the only thing is the Black Lagoon premiere.
Yeah, for
the OVA.
I thought it was an entire season, but it's just an OVA, right? So
yeah.
It's probably just an arc, maybe two episodes.
Well, I actually read the manga arc of it. It lasted a while. It was
really
long. It's a lot of action, too. It just focuses on
Roberta. And that was one of my favorite characters, watching Black Lagoon, so I think I'll be...
Yeah, so I know you'll dig it.
Yeah, I'll be really excited. Oh, which reminds me, if they have a Roberta figure in the dealer's room...
Oh,
you know,
wow, yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I won't mind. I think you linked me a couple.
There's actually a lot, but...
Yeah.
I guess we didn't know about Black Lagoon back then. So.
I think you wanted, like, some Rev... Would you want, like, a Revy figure?
Yeah, I actually would.
Okay, so that's something we can... Well, since Black Lagoon is going to be premiering there, and that might be sort of a big thing, I'm thinking they might up the merchandise with Black Lagoon. There's a chance.
Yeah, they probably will.
In my opinion.
They made an OVA, so it's still popular. So, hopefully.
Yeah, it's a good series overall. If you haven't watched it, Gian and I strongly recommend that you check it out. It has some mature themes, obviously, so if you're, like, 13, 12, you're not going to want to show your kids this series.
Yeah, if you're older kids.
Yeah, oh, sorry. If you're just young, this might not be the series for you, because it deals with, like, the underground piracy and... Just like the craziness of living like this lifestyle where you're really like not above the law, but you're just skimming that line.
It's a really brutal series too. I mean,
oh man, that I'm
dying,
telling you that
left
that
or right kind of thing.
I'm just gonna say the twins arc just got to, that was
it's
insane,
creepy.
Man.
It's a creepy arc.
Otherwise, like the Roberta one was awesome. The one where they go to Japan, that was sweet.
That was my favorite arc.
Yeah. Of course, that was the last arc, too, so they gotta end it with a bang.
They actually changed the order, too, because in the manga, that's like... I think that's before Greenback Chain.
Oh, okay.
Greenback Chain is the one when
the girl
trying to counterfeit money, basically. That's the story.
Yeah, that's the one where she works with one of the nuns, right? Her nun friend?
Yeah.
Her nuns, I say that in quotation marks, they're actually weapons dealers.
Yeah, the nuns in the series are weapons dealers. I forgot what they're called. Oh, I think they're called the Church of Violence.
Yeah.
Something like that.
man, the grandma is like the awesomest, isn't yeah. she? She has like an eye patch and everything.
Yeah, and there's actually this funny scene where they summon like a random priest and he comes out with a machine gun and starts firing. I think I remember that part. He's all happy and smiling.
There's that cool arc where they had all the assassins going after them too, and they were getting attacked in their room. So we don't want to spoil the rest of the series, but as you can see, it's jam-packed with a lot of stuff, a lot of action. They really breathe life to this little pirate island that they have, where it's like, you know, violence solves anything. If you've got money, then you've got friends in high places, and it's crazy, and you should check it out. So we're going to check out the Black Lagoon premiere on Saturday,
and I guess the only other things I'm considering is they're having a Viz media panel and a Funimation panel. I kind of want to check out the Funimation panel for sure because, well, that's how I found out about Kenichi last year, and it ended up being one of my, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'll put it in my top 10, I guess you can say. Well, it's definitely one of my favorites, so.
Yeah.
I mean, and Funimation always picks, I guess, the cream of the crop in anime.
Yeah, they're really
They always
good.
Do a great job, so.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious what they have to offer
for this year. I'm pretty sure they're going to try to advertise My Bride is a Mermaid, because that's coming up, I think, mid-July. And they're going to be maybe pushing Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, even though season one's out.
Yeah.
I remember when they showed Kenichi, season one, part one was already out. So they actually did sort of like a backlog of, this is what we have out. And this is also what's coming up. And I think that's how we found out about Bakano as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also looking forward to... I heard they licensed this one anime. I forgot what the exact name is. Like Phantom and then Requiem something. I don't know.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah. It's like Requiem of Phantom or whatnot. And yeah. It sort of looks like a dark series.
Yeah, it scored pretty high in Anime News Network. And I know... I recently heard Funimation license it, but it's going to be about a year from now before they release it.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And I can't find it anywhere, like, to begin with. So.
Yeah, coinciding with that, I really want them to release Evangelion 2.0 already, or 2.22,
yeah.
Whatever version, but they're not screening it at AX. I'm fairly certain they're not, even though the Blu-rays are out in Japan.
But 6 months probably. We'll
yeah,
get it.
It's going to be a while. I heard the whole drama with getting the first movie out, it took a while because Warner Brothers, they tried to get a major movie studio to put the movie in theaters, to distribute it throughout the country. And most people were saying, oh, no one's going to watch this movie, blah, blah, blah. This is going to be like a big money sink.
It's debatable.
Yeah, it's debatable, but at the same time, that's why it took us so long to get the first movie. And now with the second movie coming out, I'm praying they don't do the same thing. I mean, they already released the first film straight to DVD in the United States. I think there's special screenings here and there, but
yeah.
Otherwise, it didn't receive a wide release. And I'm hoping we get that real soon, because I really want to see it. I've heard so many good things about it from some people that have already seen the Japanese film. They're fluent in Japanese, and they said this is where the story drifts off into its own, and you could actually make this its own series, because part one was great.
Yeah, but you can argue it's a recap.
It's a recap,
assuming you watched the first.
Yeah.
Or the original series.
They'll be screening the first one, I suppose. And I still like the first movie. It wasn't bad, but definitely, I really wish they screened the second movie. I'm hoping Funimation, that's in the panel, the sneak peek panel, that the thing that they'll tease the whole audience with at the end of, say, whatever animes they've licensed, is that they are in the works of giving us Evangelion 2.0, 2.22, You Cannot Advance.
I heard a good thing is that they're actually not going to do the whole 2.0 then 2.22.
Oh, thank
They're
God.
They're going straight up 2.22.
Please. That was, I remember I was so tempted to buy 1.01, and then good thing I held off on that.
Yeah, because it's 1.11.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the difference between the two is like, there's more lighting in some scenes. And also we get like 2 or 3 minutes of extra footage, but whatever. I want the complete version. I don't want to buy another one.
Yeah, definitely.
So, good move on Funimation. I bet they lost a lot of money anyway, pressing the first one and re-releasing the second one. But I guess you could argue they re-released Dragon Ball like 8 or 9 times. And
people are still buying
People are still buying it.
And now we have Kai.
Yeah, and Full Metal Alchemist got released 2 or 3 times, I think. And I waited to the last minute to watch, not Brotherhood, but the first series. And I waited way, way, way long to watch that in its entirety.
Yeah, I think by that point, I already seen it like a year or two before you saw it.
Yeah,
the whole
thing. Man. Because I knew Funimation was going to do that BS. Let's release it in half-season box sets after the individual volumes. And then I knew they were going to release full-season box sets. They did that with Kenichi. But that's not too much of a downgrade because you save like 10 bucks probably buying this season set and
something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think the individual box, the half season box sets look kind of cool. And you can't really you won't be getting that same like covers and the slip cases that you get with the re-release sets. So it's not that much of a loss.
Yeah.
And Funimation panel.
Those are the only things I really like have to go to, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're just gonna be a little freeform and like, let's try this or maybe I think there's a Gundam model workshop we could do. Maybe I'll bring one of my Gundam models and just get some tips there. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess after those main three things, that's when I'll do the bulk of my shopping because Saturday is my first day, so gotta get everything done.
Yeah.
Because everything else, I'm hoping they'll still have things, because 2 days,
I'm pretty sure. If you're desperate, dude, I'll give you a call, and I'll say, I found this so-and-so figure.
Yeah.
You want me to get it?
I don't know, yeah. I might think of a list for you to get me, but I, honestly, there's nothing I must have.
For me and Gian, our shelf space is sort of running out, especially mine. I need to get a pretty big case for what I intend to do with all my Figmas and my PVC figures. I think I'm just holding off on that if I ever like move out of my house. So I'll probably have I'll actually go out to IKEA and buy a big case to hold all those figures.
You know, we should go to IKEA during our break.
Oh, yeah, like, they're probably Monday, because I really need shelves, for my DVDs. It's just, it's insane. Like, Gian's been in my room, and I have, like, 5 or 6 stacks of DVDs. Like,
they're just on the floor at this point.
Yeah, I semi-organize it, and I have, like, 2 or 3 stacks of movies. I have 2 stacks of DVD TV series, and I also have just 2-3 stacks of anime that has yet to be shelved. So, probably Monday we could do, like, a little IKEA adventure.
I think
I'm down for, maybe $50 will buy me a DVD shelf.
Yeah,
I'm hoping so.
Walk around. I kind of want to get rid of my computer desk and just get, like, a big table kind of thing.
Oh, really? Oh, man, that's going to be a pain to move out.
Yeah, I kind of don't even want to think about that, but that's what I want to try to do. But at the same time, I kind of run out of stuff to put.
I think you wanted sort of a DVD rack too, because you have everything in like a bin. I know you're not one to display like, oh, this is my DVD collection, but it's just like
just
a DVD
nicer.
Rack. It looks not.
It's
nicer.
Convenient too, because I have to dig around.
Yeah, I remember when you're loaning me anime or just movies, you have to like shuffle through like 3 or 4 bins. These are all this.
It's just inconvenient, but we'll see. But you know what? I just thought of something. If somehow you find, to begin with, if you find one Saber Lily, if there's a second one, maybe last
that would
buy
be the
one.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know what? I just remembered because I actually ordered
the Excalibur
version,
yeah.
And I forgot when that's coming out. Wasn't it supposed to be this month?
I think it's. You know what? I checked Hobby Search and. It's not, I didn't see a portrait of it featured. I think it's still in the pre-order section, so it hasn't come out yet. But probably it'll be out, early. Was it supposed to come out July or June?
I want to say it's supposed to be July, but I can't remember. It was, I actually ordered this in what, in January or February?
Yeah.
Whenever it was announced, and this is the first time I've actually straight up pre-ordered
a figure. Right?
Yeah, because yeah, I figured it looks, like, it looks, for one, it looks sick, and
yeah,
I figured it was going to sell out, like, Lily, Saber Lily.
Oh, man, yeah, so you don't, like, want to be in the same boat as me searching for it.
Like, pose-wise, I mean, if you just ignore the clothes, that Excalibur one's so much better. It's just Saber Lily is puts it over the top just because of the clothes.
Yeah, strictly I'm buying Saber Lily because of her outfit. If they had that Excalibur version in the Saber Lily outfit, I would probably get that instead.
Yeah, yeah, so.
And the figure looks nice overall. It's really detailed. Yeah. It has effects, I think, coming out of her sword, and she's not just standing on, like, a black, you know, base. I think there's actual debris or rocks underneath her, if I'm remembering the figure right.
Yeah, she's, like, about to swing her sword. And I guess the scary thing, but I think it's going to be sturdy because of what, it's Good Smile?
Yeah, I took a look at it, and I think they zoom in at the part that holsters it, and there's an actual metal part fused on the base. So I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
You won't be able to, like, prop it out. I know we have some figures that are held together by one of those leg stands, and they have pegs where you put the figure on the base. But yeah, this one, you can't remove it from the base from what I've seen, and it's fused on there because of the pose. She's, like, sort of jumping in the air. So without some sort of actual welded-in support, it would be super flimsy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll do a good job. So that's one thing I'm slightly worried about. I guess, like, over time, if it just, like, bends. But I think they'll be fine.
No, you keep really good... you take really good care of your stuff.
Yeah, well, because so. I don't really touch it. I mean, it's there.
Well, it's serving its purpose. It's being displayed.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's not like a Figma meant to be played.
Yeah, me, oh, God. Like, I have to, like... I have an actual shoebox where I keep all the Figma parts. And I'm like, oh, I'm kind of bored. I'm just going to change their poses up. And then, I got to find which plastic bag each one is. And I got to switch faces. And, oh, man, removing the hands is like a pain. Like, I think I actually got a blister before removing one of the Lucky Star hands. Those were horrible.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, it was. I tried what I did with those Lucky Star ones. I have them posed in their little dance. What they look like when they're dancing in the opening. And it was just like, it was a pain to do it, but I don't know. For me, it was great. It was worth the blister.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the enjoyment. That's why I kind of avoid Figmas, because I kind of treat them as regular PVC figures. I just put them in one pose and I'm done.
And you're done. Yeah, I actually got Gian, I think, a Tsukasa Figma.
Yeah, they're actually hiding and behind my computer monitor. Because I know one of my friends kind of screwed up their poses. One of them looks like they're going to punch.
Oh, like, yeah, punch the other one. Or, like, yeah, their legs are, like, up. She's doing some sort of yoga pose.
Yeah, I think they're kind of, they actually fell down right now. I can't really tell. I need to fix them.
Yeah, I think you had them on kind of cool poses, though. They're, like, sort of, like, standing by your speakers.
Yeah, I put them on each one of my speakers. That was, I don't know, I thought that was kind of cool.
That's sort of the joy with Figma, but, yeah, I see where you're going. You really like the PVC stuff.
Yeah, I like the pose already.
Strictly, like, this thing looks awesome.
And I like realism. I don't really like joints.
Yeah.
Somehow it just bugs me.
Yeah. Out of all those little poseables, I think Figma does the best job to try to hide the joints, but really, there's
it's
no way you can mask them. And I do agree with you on that part, which is why I'm totally, like, gonna get that Saber Lily. I think that's the only figure that I've seen that this year that I really, really want.
Yeah. And I was actually thinking, if anything, if I wanted a Figma this year, it would be a Mio.
The Mio figure?
Yeah. Because I just want to do her pose when her kind of has, like, a hypey face.
Yeah, and she has, like, her... She's sort of kneeling down.
Yeah, she's kneeling down. It doesn't have the base at all. And her hands are over her head. She's like... yeah, it's like she has a bad headache or something.
Like...
She's, like, freaking out, kind of. Yeah.
If they have the... I think it comes out in late June or July. I totally forgot. But if they have the Trigun Robotex, dude,
I think those are out already.
Yeah, I'm gonna get both.
If you know they what? Sell, I'd actually get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, if they sell both, Dash and Wolfwood for like, I say $50, I'll buy it. That's a
each or both?
No, both. Because Robotex, the difference, I guess you could say I'm like a posable connoisseur with the posable figures, but between Robotech and Figma, Figma is a little more expensive because their quality is a tad bit higher, but they strictly sort of stay in the realm of like the Moe characters. Mm-hmm. There's really rarely any male Figma. I think the only ones they did were like the guys from Haruhi and Gogol 13, and I think the main guy from Fate Stay Night, Ashiro.
Yeah. Archer, too.
They're coming out with guy. Archer. The guy-to-girl ratio in terms of Figma is, like, 1 out of, like, 10. But with...
How about that buff guy?
Oh, the random buff naked guy?
The random buff guy just underwear and, like, a towel.
Oh, man. Alright, if we see that, should we buy that for Chris?
Depends how much.
Yeah, dude, we should buy it for his birthday present.
Oh, man, I'd be down. We'll see.
All right, we'll see on that. But the difference, Robotech, their posability, it's really sturdy in terms of the articulation, and the pegs are really firm. Like Figma, you could easily break the stuff, like the hand parts and everything,
yeah,
if you place it in incorrectly. But the Robotech is like you could totally just mess around with it, and they're made to get like
beat up,
yeah. So those run way cheaper. They're about I say a typical Robotech is around $20. I've even seen some for about $10 to $15.
We'll see, it's new though, so
yeah. I'm thinking the most they'll sell Vash is like $30, or individually both Vash and Wolfwood, $30. At the most, if they charge more than that, that's a ripoff. Because you could just order right now. They have so many deals online with like free half-off shipping or whatnot that you could get one of the Robotechs, I think, for like $28 with shipping. So I guess just a friendly shopper advice: try to look at stuff online and make sure you're not getting ripped off when you're in the dealer room, because prices do get really jacked up. It's at some points ridiculous. I remember 2 years ago, 2007 Anime Expo, when Haruhi was the big thing, when we were trying to search for Haruhi figures, like you were trying to search for Yuki, right?
Yeah.
And then I was trying to search for Haruhi in the bunny outfit, and I managed to get my Haruhi figure. I think it was for like $50, like 50 or 55. And then when I walked around the convention, I saw people paying like $90 for the same figure. So don't get me wrong, I double checked the box to make sure it's not some sort of Chinatown ripoff or whatnot. So I guess just be really wary. I've seen a lot of knockoffs at Anime Expo. I feel kind of bad when someone buys it. Like, I kind of want to tell them, but at the same time, I'm just like, well, I kind of have to search for my own stuff and, you know, sucks for that guy. If he's right next to me, I'll tell them, dude, this day have that figure for cheaper over there, you know. But if they're like, I see them as I'm walking by, I'm not going to, you know, stop and help every single person that I see that's making sort of like an absurd purchase. I think the only thing I would go crazy over is the Saber Lily, where I would totally disregard my money situation. Well, not like maybe $150 status, but around the $100 price range.
Yeah.
So, Saturday night, if I do make it to the last comic standing, that's what we'll be doing, I guess, from 9. It goes from 9 until 12.
That's ridiculous, right?
You know, see, because I think it says it's a 16 and over event, and I'm thinking that
there's
means...
curfew, though.
Yeah, there is curfew, but I don't know. I'm expecting 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds to be there. And I guess it's because people might get a little vulgar when they talk. When I'm gonna do the stand up, I'm gonna try to stray away from I guess what you would call the easy laughs, like gay jokes or racist jokes or like potty humor, basically. I think I have decent material. I just really need to incorporate it really well. And yeah, we'll be checking that out at night. And I guess
Sunday.
Sunday. It's a short day. It's the convention ends, I think, 3 or 2 o'clock.
Yeah, so last minute shopping, but there's those two panels you wanted to see.
Yeah, there's really these cool two panels that are going to be almost, they're almost right next to each other. One's for beginning podcasting. And, of course, we're, you know, this is our fourth episode, and we're still new to the whole thing. So I'm kind of looking forward to that panel. And the one after it is Good Habits to Maintain for Anime Blogging and Podcasting. So those two go hand in hand. I'm hoping that one panel will cover equipment and another, or just both panels in general, that they'll cover equipment that's accessible for us to use. Maybe they'll recommend like a good microphone. I know Audacity is the program to use if you're running on a budget. And also how to handle guests, special guests for your podcast. I listen to a couple podcasts like Ancast or Anime 3000, and they have some people that talk in the industry or just individuals who are not in the same room as the rest of the cast that's in that episode. So I'm curious whether they use Skype or Ventrilo. I want to know how they integrate guests, because I know we have a couple friends that are interested in making guest spots on Bright Slap, and you know, due to obviously distance issues, they can't, you know, be in an episode, and we just need to figure out a way around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we have a general idea of how to do it, but, you know, the people who are doing these panels, I am assuming know and have established podcasts already. They're just not like, you know, just making this up out of thin air.
Joe Schmo just talking because he wants to.
Yeah, I have a panel and I wanted to get a free badge. I don't know if they get free badges.
Probably do.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of doing a panel for next year, because all you really do is need to submit a premise and what you're thinking of doing. And we could probably talk about that another time. I think I have some decent ideas for at least maybe like a 30 minute to 1 hour panel. More of like an open forum, but yeah, we'll save that for next year.
Yep.
So Sunday, last minute shopping, those two panels.
Yeah,
and
that's it. And I guess we'll probably end up doing a recap show. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know about Sunday night, but sometime after.
Yeah, we'll do like a post show. I'm sure we're going to find at least one new series that we like that was shown at the Funimation sneak peek or even the Viz Media panel.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious how they're going to market Bakuman, which is the new title from the creators of Death Note. And it's already licensed. It's going to come out in August, but I'm hoping that they'll be talking about that. The anime comes out this fall, which I'm looking extremely forward to.
Yeah,
and I'm just wondering what other licenses have they acquired. Seeing as it's Viz, they'll have more of the Shonen Jump titles. But from what I think, they've already licensed almost all of the current long-running series. Like they just came out with Toriko, which is like a food shonen series. Have you heard of it? It's still going on in Japan, obviously. They started that up. We have Reborn, which is still ongoing. Bleach, Naruto, One Piece. And I think, yeah, I don't know what new series they could acquire. I suppose just shoujo titles, because I'm not really in that.
Somebody
scene.
Needs to do Nodame already.
Yeah, they need to acquire the licensing for that. We have the manga, we just don't have the anime, and I would be more than happy. I think Gianna and I would be more than happy to buy the series, because it was really top notch. And I'm curious how which voice actors they would cast. If Funimation licenses Nodame, it's like a no brainer. They'll do pretty well with their casting, and I can't think of any other animes that should be licensed that off the top of my head, like right now, that isn't licensed, is in sort of that abyss. Minamike, you mentioned?
Yeah, Minamike would be nice. I don't know, I can't really think of it.
Yeah, I think Nodame always comes to mind when we think about animes that sort of just... it could find an audience in here, and you know, the manga still gets pushed through Del Rey. Del Rey's the one doing it, and it's still coming out in manga format. I think if they do a good series, I doubt it'll get handed over here, but Funimation should pick up Kaicho wa Maid-sama, which is the shoujo title that I'm watching this spring season. And honestly, I think that's the best show I've seen out of the entire spring. That may be a little biased because it's the only show I'm following, but I guess it, out of all the things that I've seen, just one shot, that would be a really awesome title for any distributor to pick up, Media Blasters, whatever. But from what I've heard in a podcast, Media Blasters is sort of focusing on titles that will save them from like not being like bankrupt. They can't really take any chances.
Yeah.
Hence why they grabbed Queen's Blade. And that's actually saving them, I think.
I'm kind of surprised that actually has a big fan base here, but oh,
it's funny because with Queen's Blade, which is going to be all over the dealer's room, I'm 99% sure, this year at AX, with Queen's Blade, critics-wise, it's one of those things that everybody talks smack about. Everybody says, like, oh, this is crap, people shouldn't be watching this, yada, yada, yada. But there's still a strong fan base. And personally, I think it's one of those series where you wouldn't really admit to watching, but you know, you just watch it. Like with me, I read the manga Ichigo 100% or Strawberry 100%. That's what it's called here in the U.S. And it's an ecchi series, and it's not... like great, but with me, I like the series because the girls I like their personalities of all the girls. It's a harem series, and the main guys, I really don't like the main guy because he's totally indecisive, and to me, he's like stringing along all these girls, and like I mentioned before, it's ecchi, so it's like mega fan service. So when someone were to ask me, you know, what manga are you reading right now, I would not tell them, really, oh, I'm reading Ichigo 100%. I would probably tell them, oh, you know, Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei. Yeah, that's, you know, Detroit Metal City. That's pretty cool. You know, one of my, I guess, quote-unquote, you know, hey, this guy reads, you know, non-mainstream anime, I guess, so to speak, instead of just going straight to I really consider that my guilty pleasure. And I think just when I think of people who enjoy Queen's Blade, I know there are those that say that there's a rich story and, you know, characters, there's a nice history. That's their cup of tea. And as I stated last episode, I checked out the very first episode of Queen's Blade, and it just wasn't going for me. It was just too random, I thought. Just the fan service was... just really, I mean, Strike Witches was in your face, but this one was like, here you go, like, in your face on a silver platter. Please hug it and love it forever. Like, it was just way too much. I think the threshold for fan service is, like, Strike Witches for me.
Yeah, and even for me, you see, Strike Witches is kind of crossing the border already.
So Queen's Blade, Saban Media Blasters. I don't think they have a panel this year.
Nope.
And you were curious about the Mega 64 panel? I think that was on Saturday?
Yeah, because they're random skits.
They do random skits.
Video game related.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, that might be interesting. That's a big maybe for me.
Dare we check out Danny Chu?
If we have panel? Time, I would like to see. I mean...
I think you read more of his stuff than me. I just kind of peruse the site just really rarely, but
yeah.
He's a really good blogger, and I like, and he has that tone of like, oh, like he has a fan tone, neither sort of like a professional tone, like he's reviewing these things and rating them like from 1 to 5 stars. It's like, I like this figure, or I like this series. It's really cool. And he comes off really, like, homely. And I think that's what I like about Danny Chu.
Yeah, he seems like a guy you can just, you know, randomly see and start talking to. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. It's, you know, down-to-earth kind of guy. he's just a fan that, you know, made it. He made the great business.
Yeah, he's living the dream. That's what Gion said.
Yep.
He could call up Good Smile Company and just go, oh, I want a Figma that you're going to release in 3 months, but I want to review it for the people for my blog, and they just send him one of those prototypes.
So, yeah, that's...
Check. If we see him in his Stormtrooper outfit dancing in the dealer's hall, dare I say, will you dance with him?
No, but I definitely want a picture of him.
I think he will. I hope he does. I would maybe dance with him, but yeah, picture with him for sure.
I mean, I'm sure he would want to. It's just a matter of, like, he might be swamped. Like, I mean, he's really famous.
Yeah.
All the fans would just be all over him.
Oh,
so,
man.
Who knows? We'll see.
Well, I've seen a couple Stormtroopers at Anime Expo, so I'll laugh if some people mistake them for Danny Chu, and those guys end up being mobbed by a bunch of random people, and they're just like, I guess Anime Expo has a lot of Star Wars fans.
Yeah. But his suit's distinct. I think he has like a sticker, like, kind of like an orange sticker on it.
And he also has a, if I'm not mistaken, like a case for his iPod. Like, I think where the gun should be, that's where he keeps his iPod. So, I wouldn't be surprised if all the Stormtroopers at Anime Expo try to do, like, a Danny Chu sort of thing. So, who knows? That just about wraps up what we intend to do for our AX experience this year for 2010. We're gonna think about posting a new episode later on the week, maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll do a little trip to IKEA. We can talk about that. That'll be kind of cool. And just what we did at Anime Expo. So just look forward to that new episode. Please keep in mind that we do have our blog. The location of that is www.brightslap.blogger.net. And there, Gion did a pretty cool post about the Gundam being constructed. Where was it? By the Bandai factory?
Well, I know they were moving it there, but I don't know if that's exactly what you're trying to put. Something like, I don't know how to pronounce it, but like, she's or something like that. That's where it's at now.
And it has a cool, like, Gion got posted a photo of what the alteration they did to the life-size Gundam is, having it with a beam saber.
Yeah, it has a beam saber now, and it's kind of like a memorial plaque. I think it says, I don't know, 30th anniversary or something like that, and the beam saber is actually melting the plaque, so that's a cool touch. And I'm not 100% sure, but I think they're going to add an Amuro figure to it.
Ooh, like a 1-1 scale.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll be up. They got to have the Beach Ball Haro then, too.
Oh, man, that'd
right
be sick.
Next to and Proud. No, not Proud. I think what they need to do is make like a white base, right? And that'd be like, it'd be over. They should
wow,
do
that would be amazing. If they 1-1 scale white
a
base.
A 1-1 scale white base. And inside is just like all Gundam shops, like whatever.
Wow, I'd be impressed. But if anything, I think they gotta make a Zaku.
Yeah, they would a 1-1 scale Zaku.
I mean, that's another, like,
iconic.
Noticeable. Yeah, iconic.
And they would, I'm pretty sure they would go with Char's Zaku.
Yeah, it'd be a red
if
Zaku.
They could, a red one. That would be amazing to see. Maybe have them in like a fight pose. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be amazing.
So, Gion made a post about that on the blog. You can read that up. And then I did a review of the Haruhi Suzumiya movie, The Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya. And I wrote up a quick review of that, what I thought, and quickly the voice actors that were, the English voice actors that were present at that event. Probably next episode I'll go more in depth about my experience there, and we'll talk about that. Really cool, fun experience, a great way to sort of prep up for Anime Expo. So just tune in for next episode, and thank you for listening.